America fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar, Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostradamus. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostradamus, and Christopher Hart. The American Adversaries, Drive Time.
Yeah, what a week it was! The only way to truly understand what's been going on for the last 5 days is to go to the American Adversaries Archives. That's right, the American Adversaries Drive Time Hour on AM 660. The answer. It started with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu winning big in an election heard round the world. And in unbelievably, stunningly childish behavior, our president reacts just like what the far left voted for him for. An anti-war, anti-wealthy, except for his cronies, anti-growth, anti-Jew, anti-Christian, pro-Muslim, including Iran, man-caused global warming shill. And no one is patting him on the back. Except the people who want to destroy all of our way of life. I'm Lair Adams. For the next hour, our host is bringing the train into the Friday station, Christopher Hart.
All right. Thanks so much, Lair Adams. And once again, we want to thank each and every one of you for listening out there. And hope you'll stay with us the whole show and come back Sunday for some more. All right. That's right. You got the American Adversaries in Drive Time on AM 660, The Answer, as we're pulling out here on Friday afternoon. And if you listen to our show, you weren't surprised by the president's behavior. It's all too common.
No, it gets worse. You predicted it long ago, Chris. Yeah. I mean, when the Republicans won the last election, and now he's you know what to the wall.
We are seeing his true self. That's for sure.
Petulant man child.
That's right. Don't forget, folks, we're coming to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. Don't forget, for the very best in Mercury Free dental care, call my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, at 407-678-3399. That's right. I am Christopher Hart. That was Lair Adams. And that other voice that you heard was Aubrey Kahn of Firm Foundation Home Inspections. It's Friday, so it's Firm Foundation Friday. Friday. Thanks Woo-hoo! For being with us, Aubrey Kahn.
Our African-American friend.
That's right.
And that joker-like voice you just heard in the background is our very own Dr. K, Dr. Ken Vihek.
Hey there, guys. How are you?
Good to see you tonight. Good to see you. And
He does stand well, doesn't he?
Well, maybe his mustache.
If you would like to see for yourself what we blokes in here look like, just go to our Facebook page, American Adversaries, because we are back up on the head cam tonight. Thanks to Lucas Paris, who has us. I see the camera glowing over there, so that means we are live. And Nick LeCicero is on the bridge, so we're in good hands as we come to you through the ether or across the internet. And the number is 407-774-8255.
Chris, have we told people yet that Nick LeCicero actually broadcast the show naked?
I don't think
so. Oh, okay. I didn't know if we should or not.
Is that right? You don't do that, do you, Nick?
There's
you know? It's radio.
Proof in here, so we'll never know.
That's right. It's radio.
Try that in a helicopter.
I see. So the sound disc's a clothing optional place, is it?
All right. We set a new record. A minute and a half into the show, we've already lost control.
Maybe we should go over. Yeah. Of course, if you were listening to us Sunday night, and if you didn't, you can go to our archive and hear Sunday night's show. But Aubrey joined us on the show Sunday night. And we kind of poked fun a little bit about because he had an inspection down in Cypress Cove.
That's right.
The big clothing optional resort.
Really? Down there where they get naked.
And why wasn't I called?
I mean, his assistant. Yeah, really. We can all go down there. And
but you got to strip.
Take a peek. So, no, you don't.
Oh, stop it.
No.
Everybody's thinking about how Aubrey looks. You know, I saw him.
No.
Okay.
It's clothing
optional. It ain't pretty.
That's right.
That much.
All right. We got a big show lined up for you tonight, folks. But don't hesitate to join us. And don't forget, Carl Jackson is going to be on tomorrow morning live at 8 o'clock. And he's got a good show, great show lined up for you tomorrow night. Or excuse me, tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. But tonight...
What have you been smoking, Chris?
he's in here, too.
It's that medical marijuana, I tell you.
Yeah, that's right, exactly. It's Friday. And thank God Almighty it is. It's been a long week for me, I tell you. You know, the weather's kind of turned kind of hot.
It's... getting nice.
Yeah. What happened to spring?
Well, we're
sprung. Yeah.
Well, not for another fifth or hour. I think it's six something tonight.
Yeah, officially. Yeah. It'll become the spring.
Feels like summer to me.
The spring equinox occurs when the Earth is the
sun is on the equator.
Yeah, that sort of stuff.
The strongest.
Yeah. So,
and a huge moon tonight, guys. A giant moon. The moon is at the closest.
There.
Is no, the tonight's the closest the moon.
You think about Aubrey naked again, aren't you?
You guys, you know, I'm trying to fill our listeners with scientific knowledge here. That's twin moons you're talking about.
It's a Star Wars episode.
Oh, my goodness.
That's right. So what would it be in winter? Blue moon?
Speaking of springtime, you know, I was out yesterday pounding some nails under an oak tree, and one of those big old carpenter ants fell on the back of my neck.
Oh, yeah. I like that thing crawling on you,
know,
you don't
how
you?
They like to get on the back of your neck and bite you back there?
Oh, yeah. Anywhere they land.
But I felt
you got
that
big
thing
jaws.
Start to gnaw down on me, so I swatted him off and mashed him. Yes, I did. And then you know what I did? Because it was starting to... I went and got some Roxy Pacific. And that thing was stinging a little bit and kind of itching, you know, and I put that Roxy on it, killed the itch right away. And
done.
Today, I can't even feel where it was.
Yeah, Luann was telling me, you know, that's the operative word with this stuff, is you spray it on whatever it is, and then the operative word is done.
Done.
It's over, the itch or the whatever. It's done.
And, great stuff.
It really is. And, of course, you know, with summer coming on, a lot of folks are going to be out in the sun, sunburn. This is great for that. And it's only because it's good for your skin.
And if they still have their offer going, folks, it's $15 for the small size, and that includes the shipping.
Yeah.
Take advantage of that. I think it's half price.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
It's worth for 10 times.
Well, for the 8 ounce, and then if you buy the 8 ounce, they throw in the 1 ounce free and free shipping.
That's even better.
And you can go to fixtheskin.com. That's fixtheskin.com to order it. And that's, of course, Roxy Pacifics. And if you'd like to order, over the phone, you can do that as well at 619-654-4829. That's 619-654-4829. And I know Dr. Ken's a big believer in it.
Oh, big time. And look, I know the listeners can't see my hand, but where I have to stick myself every day, you know, a couple times a day to measure my sugar, I put the Roxy on right after I'm done spraying. There's no more scars, no more manifestations underneath the skin.
Ken, look at your arms. Yeah. I remember when you first started doing show, yes.
Remember?
A lot of diabetics, I've noticed, have those lesions on their arms.
They're gone.
They're gone.
They're gone. Yeah, it's awesome.
But do you bathe in this stuff? Or
pretty much.
Oh, okay.
I tell you what, it's great stuff. And,
for the pets, too?
Yeah.
Everything.
I tell you, if you don't have any, if you've never gotten a free bottle and you'd like a free bottle, we'll give a couple away right now. Just call us at 407-774-8255. The only requirement is you can't have gotten a free bottle before. But if you haven't and you'd like one, like I said, the summer's coming all up.
Chris, I could use a free bottle. I mean, kind of out, you know.
What was the number?
Mixed with vodka, it'll cure your stomach ailments, right?
Well, you know, you use it for laryngitis. You can use it for... it's great stuff. And it's all natural.
Every square inch of your body.
Let me tell you, when you said you started using it to clear your laryngitis...
Mm-hmm.
I'm highly susceptible to allergies and sinus problems because of this time of year, because I have 3/4 of mine removed from that missile explosion. I actually took an old nasal spray bottle, emptied out the other stuff that was in there, put the Roxy in there, and used that.
Oh, okay. It's a nasal thing. You know, that's something I haven't done yet.
Unbelievable.
Well, like I say, I know on the throat, anybody with a sore throat or laryngitis, you I just gargle with it. I warm it up a little bit. I just gargle with it. It takes only a few treatments, maybe two or three, and it's like, what happened? Nothing's ever cured it that fast.
Yeah. It's amazing.
You do home inspections, which means you're up in the attic a lot, right?
I'm always in the attic.
Do you know how those nails stick through the roofing?
Through my skull?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You ever tried the Roxy on that?
Well, they call me Bonehead for a reason, right?
Yeah, that's one thing I hate about being in the attic, because I got those nails
like stalactites,
sticking through.
You know?
Yeah, just waiting to nail you in the back of the head.
You know, you do it hard enough, and you don't break drywall because you just hang there.
Like Velcro.
Just picture Arby in one of those crazy glue commercials.
Feet with my head.
All right, folks, this is a serious show, right?
After the break, we will get serious. We do have some serious stuff to talk
no
about.
No having fun allowed.
That's
none
right.
of that, none of that.
That's our boy Willie Nelson. Dr. K, did you ever meet Willie?
No, I never got to meet Willie, unfortunately.
Yeah, what a loaded question.
The situation he was in with the IRS, I would love to have been in that type of a situation.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because if you owe the government that many millions of dollars, how much do you think you really made?
Oh, yeah, well, that's true.
You know? I don't know. Ask L. Oscar F. L.
Yeah.
Who?
Oscar. Al Sharpton.
Yeah.
Oh.
He only owes, what, $4.5 million?
Old Shakedown. Yeah. Well, he'll just shake somebody down for
that's
it.
That's all.
Well, Barack just got a house out of his deal, so Magnum P.I. house.
That's, as one of my cousins used to say when we were kids, that's nothing but chicken feed.
Yeah, I'm upset with Barack. He didn't get me to do the home inspection.
Yeah, there you go. He's a stupid fool.
Well, you know, it's full of rats.
Serves him right. Serves him right. Real quick, this thing about get out the vote or else.
Or else. I like that.
Mandatory.
The president, in response to a question in Cleveland yesterday, responded that perhaps we should do it like they do down under, you know, g'day, down there in Australia. Have you ever been to Australia?
No,
my brother has.
Our good buddy Joe Terp lived there for a while.
And that explains a lot.
It does, doesn't it? Sort of upside down world he's in.
Hey, I'm from South Africa. Don't go there.
Oh, okay, that's right. Well, I'm working toward that, as a matter of fact.
But in
his twisted logic, because the gist of the question was, what can we do to get money out of politics?
Yeah.
As though, you know, money is...
Isn't he getting enough out of politics?
he's going to be pretty well set by
pretty
time he leaves.
Well, him and Harry Reid.
But his idea to get money out of politics is require people to vote. Well, of course, now that means more... Think about the logic for a minute. That means almost twice as many people are going to be voting. So there'll be now twice as many people you have to reach with your message. So are you going to be able to do that with less money, or is it going to take a whole lot more money?
You're missing the point there, Chris.
What's that?
It's not taking money out of politics. It's putting the money back into the hands of those voters that aren't going to vote anyway, and they're just going to be selling their ballots.
Well,
good point. Very good point, Ken.
In essence, that's what they say is happening now, and that's what they want to prevent. But all they'll do is drive up the cost per ballot.
But they're also giving free IDs to everyone that comes across the Mexican border illegally, so they'll be allowed to vote.
Yeah. And in San Francisco, they want you to be able to be 16 and vote.
That's right.
Did you about to hear about that?
Yeah. And the other part of this is, too, is you're going to have to register to vote. That's the only way they can fine you for not voting.
Yeah. No, you won't have to register. They'll do it like they're doing now in Oregon. They just started in Oregon.
With the driver's license?
You are automatically. Yeah.
That's still ID. That's still voter ID. That just turns a license into voter ID.
Do it the way they do it in Chicago. You just go and register everybody in the graveyards, and you're good.
Well, I was going to say, this does nothing to prevent voter fraud. This is why it's such an empty idea. But on the other hand, when we think about how many Christians out there and how many conservatives aren't voting, maybe it's not such a bad idea. Because according to the numbers, these are statistics and poll numbers that we hear over and over from source after source, half of the Christians in this country are registered to vote. of those who are registered to vote, half of them vote in an election, a presidential election, and half then again in an off year.
Right.
So we are talking
to a quarter to an eighth.
We are talking, 30, 40, 50 million people that would be forced to vote who aren't even registered now, and add another 20 million or so to that who would be forced to vote. We're talking about a voting block of who aren't voting now who would be forced to vote, some perhaps 70 million people in this country alone.
Chris, I think it's going to be a lot different. I think instead of just having everyone being forced to vote, that'll only apply to Democrats. Everyone else will be paid not to vote.
Yeah. Well, and obviously, it's a dumb idea to begin with, but it does say something about the president's personality, does it not?
That it does. And also, let me put a cap on this and then talk about in a different angle. Have you ever seen somebody doing something because they were court-ordered to do it?
Service. Picking up garbage or whatever. Yeah, they're not happy.
There's not a whole lot of enthusiasm there, is there?
And there's not a lot of predictability there either.
Right.
So if you make somebody go do something that they don't really want to do you think you're actually going to get the support you think you're going to get out of it?
Right. Now, really, this is just the president trying to sound smart. Like he's looking elsewhere for great ideas. This is part of the problem with this president. The great ideas are right here, Mr. President. You don't need to look in Australia. You don't need to, present company, pardon me, but you don't need to look at South Africa. You don't need to look to anywhere else. We have the best system in the world. People mimic our system and try to improve on our system. You just need to look back home. If there aren't enough people out there voting, the politicians are the ones who need to look in the mirror and blame themselves.
And it shows,
it's because we are getting such lousy choices.
And it shows his disrespect for the First Amendment.
Yeah.
If someone does not want to vote, that is a statement. That is
that
a political is a statement.
Yeah. That's a vote.
Unto itself.
Who was it? John Paul Sartre said, if you choose not to decide, you still have made a choice.
I think that was Geddy Lee of Rush.
Well, it ended up in that song, but I think Sartre said it first.
It applies. It's a perfect application of that.
Yeah.
You're dead on with that. And they're making the choice not to go. And now all of a sudden you're going to have to go. So if I'm going to have to do something, guess what? I'm going to be a little spiteful about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they make backfire.
And look at the revenge aspect of it, like it has happened in Russia, places like Russia, or even in the Middle East. They find out you didn't vote for what they wanted for. Uh-oh.
Yeah. And now what? Are they going to tell you how to vote next? How are they going to know if you actually voted?
Well, and that's a whole other
thing. That's where they're headed, guys.
We're on a slippery slope.
And this is where I think you're right, especially with young people. Because they're the ones who are most rebellious by nature.
Yeah.
And to tell them to do tell them to do something like that, it just makes them even, more rebellious. And then to tell them that they're going to be fined and may have to go to jail makes them even more so. Most of these things I don't think the president himself is even serious about. He's just trying to sound like a smart guy and reinforce, because ultimately all he did was reinforce the premise, which is that money in politics is a bad thing. Yeah. Money in politics is an expression of free speech. And when you look at how much money we spend on selling soap, what we spend on politics is actually a pretty small amount.
Yeah.
That doesn't say, I mean, that's not to say that people can't be corrupted or corruptible. Obviously, they are. But no amount, however large or small, will change that when you're dealing with power.
Can I make a prediction to go on the record here?
All right.
And this is what I honestly believe is going on with him psychologically. He is trying to find a legacy banner. And what that is one of those mantras that will be hung inside his presidential library that they could say, that's his legacy. Now, he's going to shop from now until he leaves office to find something that sticks. And that's what they're going to tout, and that's what they're going to blow up and say, see, this is what he did. This is how great he was. And he's searching.
He ended the Iraq war.
Ushered in ISIS.
Yeah, he can't claim that because that didn't work out so well. Yeah. So, yeah, you're right. He's
searching. He's really fishing.
Well, the biggest banner there was going to be, it was Bush's fault.
Yeah. But like I say, he is... he is, in his mind, freed up now, finally, to do what he really wants to do. And he, if he can't do it, he's at least going to talk about it. And what he would like to do is force us all to vote, not just vote, but vote for him or the likes of him. There's no question about that. So it's you know, Katie, bar the door for the next 2 years. Real quick, though, Aubrey, how do they vote in South Africa? Is it very much a system like ours?
Everyone has one day in which to vote.
Okay.
That way it eliminates voter fraud to a large extent.
Yeah.
All right? And it's a secret ballot just like everywhere else.
Yeah. And do they take – is it that election
day? Is it paper?
It's paper. You've got to show ID. And
is the election day a holiday to make it easy for people?
They close down everything
right.
for election day.
No, that's
you know what? They could do it here too, but – unfortunately, it would eliminate most of the voter fraud, which helps the Democrats.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Correct. Do they still close liquor stores on Election Day?
Until polls close, yeah.
Okay.
Only the private clubs can be open.
Mm. Well, so, hey, open season at private clubs.
There we go.
You know, that goes all the way back to the suffrage movement and Prohibition.
Mm-hmm.
Because the whole idea of the suffragettes working with the prohibition forces was that they were going to purify politics.
Yeah.
And we still kind of hear this argument made today. And why, if Hillary or another becomes the progressive candidate for president, one of the arguments that they will be made is it's time for a woman because she's going to bring something different, something ostensibly more pure to the office.
Well, didn't we have Michelle Bachmann? What happened there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but we just had two male presidents.
She was on the wrong side.
Didn't we have Sarah Palin for vice president?
We just had two male presidents in a row. By gosh, a woman will change it.
It's kind of like Dick Durbin with the holding up of the nomination of this Supreme Court judge, right?
You moved to the back of the bus, Aubrey. You get to the back of the bus.
I've always been
the back
of the bus.
Hold on, we've got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Told you not to tan.
Not Supreme Court. What am I talking about?
Here is tonight's American Adversaries Soundbite RX News Minute. SoundbiteRx.com, a great way to be better informed. Today's Soundbite RX News Minute is brought to you by My Liberty Threads. American made, America proud. MyLibertyThreads.com.
Hi, this is Christopher Hart, once again for SoundbiteRx.com. It's Friday, folks, so that means it's prayer day. Today we pray for the change of heart for Jonah's. God commissioned Jonah to preach repentance to the people of Nineveh. Jonah did not like his assignment because the Ninevites were wicked. He knew that, later on, they would defeat and torture his own people, the children of Israel, in ways unheard of. As a prophet, Jonah saw those tragedies coming. He did not want the Ninevites to repent or to receive God's mercy. He thought he could escape from his duty. But after the Lord brought him back to his senses, he went to Nineveh and preached God's message. The entire nation repented. Read the book of Jonah. It is not easy to convince Christians to wish Muslims well and offer them the message of Christ's grace. Yet we trust God to change our hearts and give us courage to carry out his divine plan for the lost. Today's prayer. You alone are God of all the peoples of the earth. You are our maker and redeemer. You have other sheep that are not in this flock. Your mercy is more universal than we sometimes think. Your love and compassion extend to Muslims also. You are interested in their well-being. You want the blind to see, the lost to be found, and the dead to come back to life. We pray for grace that we, the followers of Jesus, your only Son, will have compassionate hearts toward Muslims. They are lost because they are away from Christ, the only Savior. We repent because we have failed you. Just as you were patient with Jonah and gave him a second chance to obey you, give us another chance. Help us to go to Muslims with love, compassion, and courage, empowered by your Holy Spirit. Amen. And thanks again for being with us tonight. Is it today or tonight? I tell you what, it's thank God it's Friday.
Oh, yeah. I didn't stay for a minute. Yeah. It turns spring in about an hour and 10 minutes, I think.
Right, now that we have at least temporarily regained control of the show, I would like to congratulate James from Orlando, Roy from Altamont Springs, and Joe from Castleberry. They have all taken advantage of a free bottle of Roxy Pacifics. And I will get their names to Ed and Luann Roxy tonight, and they'll have their Roxy Pacifics that they can use
and
for whatever.
And folks, use it religiously. Don't just use it once. It's not going. It's not a miracle. Well, use it a few times, and then you'll find out.
Yeah, just use it, and you'll figure it out. But I keep a bottle in my car, and of course, a big bottle at home. So that's what you need to do.
Wish
folks.
I could.
Yeah. We got a shipment coming. Don't worry.
I want to recommend to them that they also get some medicine for their brains and join the American Adversaries Army. Hey. Go online and sign up.
Thanks, Aubrey. I appreciate that. It's real easy, folks.
Yeah.
All you have to do is go to our webpage, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com, and follow the prompts to the recruiting office, and it's real easy. And you can be an enlistee, or you can come in as an officer.
It's a cure for what ails you.
That's right. And if you'd rather do it by the mail, which a number of you have, and that's fine, too, just get out your pencils. And the P.O. Box number is 536-683. That's P.O. Box 536-683, Orlando, 32853. And just make your check or money order out to American Adversaries Radio and address it to the same.
And Chris, I'd like to point out to our listeners how important it is, if you didn't hear last night's show, to pull it back up, because John Casey, that's the anti-man-caused global warming guy, he scared me last night, and I could see he was fidgety, too. So there's folks.
And by the way, we have already given away some of his reports, his global climate status reports. And,
oh, perfect.
For the next 25 people who join our Army, they will get a free climate status report as well.
Compliments. Some scary information in there.
John Casey, that's right. And by the way, our first Intel brief / newsletter is out. And the second one is we're putting it together now, and it'll be out within the week. And Nostra Dennis has chipped in a great article. Our man Lucas Paris has a little series that he's starting in this Intel brief. And you got great deals and coupons in there, like from Fern Foundation Home Inspections. And so please take advantage of it. And let's see. Okay. All right, enough of the get-out-to-vote thing. I mean, that's just Barack Obama smoking some rope himself. But there is another topic I want to talk about while Ken Vihek is here this afternoon, and it has to do with same-sex marriage. I would imagine that you being in the psychology business, that's been pretty good for business, has it been?
Yeah. Not as good as for the attorneys, though, because gay divorce is on the rise, too.
Yes.
Yeah, I guess it would be.
It's a byproduct,
yeah, it is,
right?
Yeah. But it's become a forefront topic of discussion, yes.
Okay. And the reason I wanted to bring this up with you today is for about the third time now in recent history, and I know Nostra Dennis has brought this up on the show before. He won't be joining us today, folks. But a person who was raised as a child by same-sex parents has written a letter and basically come out against same-sex marriage. And the theme of the letter seems to be very similar. And that is that, yes, I loved both my same-sex parents. They both loved me. There was nothing wrong with that relationship, but it wasn't enough. I wanted and I longed for either a father or a mother. And in both cases, or the three cases that I've seen, I believe the person was raised by two women. And as a psychologist, doesn't it seem to make sense that even if a woman is very, let's just say, masculine, she's still not really a man and still can't provide the role model that a man would, even a weak man, so to speak?
Yeah, and you're hitting it right where it should be. We were discussing this topic yesterday in my classes and again today out at UCF because it is in the forefront. And although you can have comfortable relationships with, you know, homosexual or lesbians, The kids are the ones that really get put on and have to deal with all the angst and the anxiety. of growing up that way.
Right.
And you're not going to have the same results if you have male-male or female-female raising the children. You the best relationships, the best possible scenario is to have one man, one woman raising the family. That way you get both sides.
Both committed.
Yes, and they both have to be committed. But and let's just, you know, we're not in a utopian world, so that doesn't happen all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but it's still, the studies still show that the best responses you get are having a stable household, two-parent household, whether one parent works or the other one stays home, or they both work, or they both find a way to raise the family together. That's the important part. You're going to have something that's lacking on each side if it's going to be, you know, lesbian or gay raising the children, because there's going to be a void that's not filled properly.
Right.
And properly is also by modeling.
Right.
Yeah, so there's a lot more that goes into this than just, this study says this, and it's going to be okay.
Right.
The children are the ones that are feeling the deficiency, not the parents.
Right. And which brings me to another point, and I don't know if – I'm almost hesitant to use the word, but the word that comes to my mind is selfish.
Mm.
Isn't it sort of a selfish act for people who are of same-sex persuasion not to even take that into consideration?
That's a tough one.
That is really, really hard to...
But it's the only word that I can think of, because they're putting their interests ahead of the child when the typical parenting experience is to put the child's interest ahead of you.
Okay.
Now, I don't have any children, but mm-hmm. you three gentlemen do.
Yeah.
When it comes to your children, do you not put their interests before your own?
Oh, yeah.
To a point.
Their well-being, yes.
Yeah,
their interests, not necessarily.
But if you were to ask me, what's worse for raising a child, an orphanage or two committed people of the same sex that seem to be, you know, that
stable.
They really, yes, I'd have to go for that as opposed to an orphanage.
Yeah.
So I see a value in it, but you know.
But here's what troubles me about this article, all right? And that is that the child's feelings, again, are completely and totally discounted and basically attacked by the other side.
Right.
Did you see Abby Gardner's response to that?
No. Well, because it's against what they believe.
Right. And she was saying that this is this child's contrived memories.
Right.
Well, no, they're child's memories. This is the way she felt growing up. She expressed it.
And how can you say that about someone else, not knowing that?
So now how can you discount her?
Well, that's why I say that the word that comes to mind to me is selfish. Because or close-minded, because they obviously are not even giving consideration to the other side of the argument,
yeah.
which is coming from a child who was raised in the circumstances
right.
that they want.
And she's just stating the way she felt, regardless of what everybody else thinks, this is the way she felt.
Right.
Therefore, it's real to her.
Right. But if she wasn't the only one, because you read the comments,
yes.
95% of those comments agreed with her, mm-hmm. especially from people that have been raised in same-sex marriages.
I think arrogance would probably be a better word.
Well, yeah, because really, when you start putting selfish on it, I know a lot of selfish parents. I mean, they're opposite sex, but they're very selfish, and they think very selfishly, and they didn't particularly want the kid happened.
Well, I'm not trying to imply that a traditional marriage where you have a man and a woman is automatically an ideal situation. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, mm-hmm. you can have abusive parents, one or the other, or both. I mean, any situation can go sour, and many of them do.
And this is the one thing
but
that bothers me about
this. But nonetheless, it has the best chance for success,
but
I think.
But this is what bothers me about any time you get into this type of a discussion. People everywhere are going to be able to pull out the outliers.
Right.
You know, the extremes of each.
Yes.
And that's what they use as a generalized norm, and it's not.
Right.
You know, traditional marriages overall are better for raising children. End of story.
Yes.
Okay? Now, we can go into different areas under that umbrella and say, okay, committed relationships, whether they be male, male, female, female, whatever they are, as long as they're committed.
And they have value.
Exactly. They can be as fruitful.
Right.
Right? But don't dismiss it and say, well, you know, this one person over here said this, and therefore that's the truth. No. You have to look at the big picture and consider everybody involved in this relationship. And I really think that it's an arrogance to say to the kids, or to say like this young lady here,
right,
that your feelings don't matter. We're the way we are, and that's the best way to be, and you're going to like it.
Right. But this reminds me of Marx's thought, because in Marx's thought, they view her as a product of, she has been molded by other people's thoughts, mm-hmm, other people's arguments, and these aren't her true feelings.
Well, and Marx's thought, doesn't the community raise the child anyway?
No. You're not understanding the point I'm making here. And to them, in order to get her mind right, mm-hmm, she has to be put into the right environment, mm-hmm, you see? And this is where, you know, re-education camps and things like this come into mind.
She's off the reservation
now. Right, exactly.
So the cult is circling the wagons.
Yeah, and the cult
is what it's like.
And the culprit has been her circumstances, her surroundings, outside of the gay marriage.
Right. And nobody's listening to that part, or at least the world is listening, but the people in that community, instead of saying, okay, we understand how you felt that way, we're sorry that that's the way you feel, or that you were made to feel that way, you know, what can we do to help you, move on from this point on? Instead, no, it's, oh, well, these are just contrived, and she has a lot of holes in her story, and, just because her father
and
all this other stuff.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, if the liberals were on her side, they would be saying, oh, you know what we should do? We should come up with a government program that'll have a man come into the house once a day.
There you go.
And again, a lot of this comes from...
You know who would volunteer for that?
Who?
Bill Clinton.
Yeah, of course. But again, a lot of this is a tearing down. A lot of this is the tearing down of actual fatherhood.
Knock.
That the man in the relationship, the father in the relationship is the problem.
Right.
And that's what we've been fed for now decades.
Yeah.
Decades.
But look at all the TV shows that have come out in the last couple of years. When was the last time you saw a strong male role model being the
lead? Like Homer Simpson?
Yeah, you go. Every new cop show has come out as having a female
the Bundy
lead,
guy? Not Ted Bundy.
And the guys are always the incompetent ones.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Even Archie Bunker, although he got a few licks in.
If you're just sitting there saying, well, that's television, just look at the real world. Look at what liberalism has done to the black family. Yeah. Right?
It's who needs a man? Who needs a man
the
around?
The welfare system was designed that way.
Yeah.
It was designed to break up the black family, because who gets the most money in the welfare system?
The female.
Single black female with lots of kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm, that's right. Hey, Aubrey, do they have same-sex marriage in South Africa?
I don't know. I haven't been there lately, but I would assume so, because they're very liberal.
They've gone very liberal?
Oh, yes.
I couldn't imagine.
I used to be considered liberal because I believed that everyone should have the right to vote and live wherever they wanted.
Right.
But over here, I'm considered a radical right-wing conservative, a Tea Partier. And that suits me just fine.
Well, now, isn't
you're in the right spot.
Yeah. Isn't a lot of that over there tribal? I mean, I can't imagine that being accepted in many of the tribes over there. Some of these tribes are ancient.
They are ancient, but, in America, people don't realize just what goes on in a tribal community. There's a lot of homosexuality in there, and it doesn't matter because the man is king. Yeah. And he is judged by the number of wives he has, the number of male children, and the quantity of cattle that he owns.
Yeah. And they don't view it as homosexuality.
No.
As a matter of fact, in Muslim communities like in Afghanistan and Pakistan and other places, I was surprised when one of my nephews came back from Iraq after his first tour of duty, and I asked him what the culture was like over there. And he said, it's bizarre, man. I said, well, what do you mean? And he said, and I'm paraphrasing now, but he said something to the effect of, over there they use boys for fun and they use girls to make babies, if you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And over there they do that. And as a matter of fact, when we went to Afghanistan, the military did some studies over there on this. I've got a report somewhere. I'll try to find it and bring it and read from it. But what they determined was, what they were being told was, well, the women are all covered up, so we can't see what they look like, but we can tell when we see a pretty boy. And they take the pretty boys and have sex with them. But they don't see it as pedophilia or homosexuality. They see it as simply some form of, if you will, elaborate masturbation.
Gratification.
Exactly. Because there's no meaning to it other than the sexual gratification. And, later on, if they get married, they may still do this. And they don't see it as homosexuality. That's how bizarre that
side of the world is. And they kill homosexuals.
Exactly. It's just totally bizarre. And to think that there's any kind of moral equivalence or anything like that, I know I've gotten way off the track here, but nonetheless, you know, different peoples look at different behavior in different ways, yeah, is what I'm trying to say. Yeah. And that goes on to this day. Yeah. It's a bizarre behavior.
Yeah. And you have to understand that even though all these laws and rules are changing so that, you know, this is becoming more acceptable, people are still going to believe the way they want to believe, and that's okay. You can't expect everybody to come over to your side of the fence automatically.
No, absolutely. I see we're out of time, so let's go ahead and take the final break for the day. When we come back, we're going to have more with Aubrey Kahn, Dr. K, Lair Adams, and me, and you can see us on Ustream.tv.
Real quick, Chris, guys, Aubrey just showed me the worst joke I've seen today. What did the mama cow say to the baby cow? It's past your bedtime.
Oh, God.
I've been down before.
All right, welcome back to the show, folks. If you're out there on the road again, please take your time and get where you want to go safe and sound. Aubrey Kahn's in the studio. Of course, it's Friday, Firm Foundation Friday. Aubrey will give you the best home inspection you'll ever have. You know, that's the biggest decision, biggest purchase type decision you'll ever make. And
it's Friday.
Oh, there you go.
Or if you want to sell your home.
If you want to sell your home, you need to know what you need to do to get the best price out of your home.
But don't get blindsided.
Certainly if you're buying one. And if you've got a home and you've done any improvements on it, you got a new roof on it, or even if you're just wondering if you're paying too much on your homeowner's insurance, you need to call Aubrey. It doesn't cost you anything to call him and ask him. 321-624-0254 is his phone number. 321-624-0254. OrlandosHomeInspector.com, OrlandosHomeInspector.com, and he can help you out. And you may most likely are paying too much for your homeowner's insurance, and he can get you a wind mitigation inspection and bring that cost down for you. And as Lair said, if you're buying or selling a home, Aubrey is the man you need to talk to. Dr. K, one reason why I wanted to go down this road with these children and the letters they wrote is because this past week, actually it happened last week, we had Scott Plakin, a member of the Florida House, on this week to talk about it, where they were working through the House a bill that would make it, that would provide incentives for people to adopt the I believe he said, the 300 or so children in the state of Florida who are extremely difficult cases, I believe he called them.
Okay, yeah.
And these would be teenagers, probably with behavioral problems, and or children who require medical attention on a constant basis. And then in the middle of the night, some of his Republican colleagues went along with Democrats and tagged on a provision which would require all adoption agencies to adopt to same-sex couples should they come to that agency wanting to adopt. Is that ethical to require that sort of thing?
Well, you kind of lost me on what – are they all going to have to –
They would require any adoption agency in the state of Florida, regardless of their persuasion and
it's like a Christian group that wouldn't adopt a gay couples.
Yeah, that they would require them to, if a same-sex couple came to them, require them to adopt to. When Christians don't believe that is a legitimate lifestyle, so to speak.
Okay. Well, didn't we already answer that with the birth control pills and Obamacare?
The abortion thing in Obamacare, but
I was talking about
the Hobby Lobby cases and the nuns, the sisters.
I mean, isn't that a dead issue already? I mean,
well, evidently not to Democrats.
Nothing's dead to them.
I was discussing that same thing with Daria Monroe yesterday.
Yeah,
and
she's now with an adoption agency,
right? And we were discussing what is the ways of getting around this, and one way we haven't seen what the law is yet.
Right.
We haven't seen, you know, what is being proposed, but it has gotten through the House. It's now heading to the Senate, and hopefully they're going to turn it down. But the only way you might be able to get around that is if the Christian adoption agencies become part of a ministry, because that way they have their freedom of religion.
Right. Well, the question I'm asking is, given the letters that these children are writing, these testimonies that we're getting from these children, does that seem like a wise practice?
Well, if you're talking about children that are above the age of 12 in the state of Florida, then their feelings need to be considered in who's doing the adopting as well.
Is that right? Is that part of the law?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The age of 12 is the right of decision here in Florida.
I see.
Okay. So hopefully that will, you know, be taken into account. They just won't say, okay, here's your new mom and mom.
Right.
Or here's your new dad and dad.
Right. Yeah. You know, what sort of... what makes me uneasy about the whole gay marriage movement and this transgender business and all that is it seems to me, especially when you have so many impressionable people, children especially, that what we're doing is we're making this cool or a faddish type thing. You follow where
yeah,
I'm coming from?
Yeah.
And later on down the line, there's going to be a lot of people whose lives are all messed up because of a fad that ran its course some time ago.
It reminds me of the one commercial that's on about how many other bad decisions have I made throughout my life. You
yeah.
know, it goes back and shows the guy in a leisure suit. You're dead on. What's the ramifications going to be 10 years from now, 15 years, 20? You know, and this is what researchers have to try to project out when they're doing their studies.
Yeah.
You know, and this is one of those things where we really don't
But not
know.
Voters.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
That's
voters
it.
Don't look that far ahead.
No, they don't.
Yeah.
No, you got to remember that when I was writing for The Tonight Show, we weren't allowed to write any jokes that were older than 3 days unless we put a prompt on it.
Because?
Because the memory of the general populace is only 3 days.
Yeah. 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 All right, well, that's going to about wrap it up for tonight. Don't forget Carl Jackson live tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. We'll be back here live Sunday evening, live at 5, and, of course, all next week. By the way, Sunday night, we're going to have a great guest on our show, C.J. Pearson. You may have heard of C.J. Pearson. He's the young black fellow who came to the defense of Rudy Giuliani when Rudy said that Barack Obama doesn't love this country.
Yeah.
And C.J. had his Facebook page pulled and everything. He was getting a lot of hits.
He was
on his...
a pariah.
Oh, yeah. So,
amazing, huh?
C.J. is going to be on our show live Sunday
cool.
night. Yeah, so it's going to be a lot of fun. And next week we're going to have a big announcement as to when we're going to be doing our celebration of our 1,000th show, which was last week. And we're going to do a live remote broadcast at Cafe Positano. We got some big things in store for you.
It's going to be a blast.
It's going to be a hoot nanny. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Going to get a bunch of the Shriners to come out with their cars and outfits and clowns and all kinds of neat stuff. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be fun. Aubrey's going to be there, too.
Is he going to be one of the clowns?
He doesn't even have to dress up.
Hey.
Oh, okay. Wait a minute.
Okay.
We'll be back.
Night, everybody.
A service of Salem Communications. Intelligent, conservative, AM 660. The Answer.